Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back at you, 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty. Bob Fesco, Dusty Leggers, Mac Morey, go ahead.
I was going to say, I can't take my eyes off what's going on in Tampa this morning.
Oh, I didn't say Utah. I mean,
no, not Utah. Yeah, happy hockey. Welcome to the NHL in Utah. Woo. For those who want a team in Kansas City, I did see the commissioner says we're not interested in expanding right now, so there's going to be no hockey team.
Seattle Kraken, baby.
Is that your team? You're picking up where Josh left off, huh?
Yep.
Taking over Josh's old team, huh?
Yeah. Speck told me Dallas, because they have local ties.
They do.
I guess the Hunt family?
No.
They're fans of Dallas?
I don't know if they're fans. I don't know that there's not part
of it. I mean, I know that that Gracie Mahomes? Always has, and then he said Mahomes is always in Dallas.
Oh, is he? Because Mahomes roots for him, so now we got to root for him. Is that what Spector's telling us?
So I just went with the...
I'll root for who I want, Steven.
I just went for the history. I'll go support the first ever female coach in the NHL.
Hope
she beats everybody's ass.
Yeah, that's cool.
And she's kind of hot. So
I got to look this up. Yeah, I didn't even know that. That is really cool. You told me that on the
Seattle
break. I had no idea.
So that's who I root for. Support those ladies.
Go Preds.
That's right. The crown jewel always support the females.
So you're a Preds fan? Did you pick it up when you were down there a little
when
bit?
I moved
it's fun.
Yeah,
right?
It's fun, man.
There's nothing better than an NHL game in person. It's the best sporting event in person. It is so, so incredibly awesome, right?
Well, and like you said, you know, these past weeks, there's like a feeling with playoff baseball. I feel the same with playoff hockey.
Yeah,
there's something specific.
Yeah.
Oh, playoff hockey. That game seven last year?
Yeah.
You know where I was? Glued, not knowing what the hell's going on.
Yeah,
but I was watching a black puck go back and forth on a white rink, and I was like, somebody's got to score, and somebody needs to fight.
Yeah. it's fantastic. Yeah. I would encourage anybody who's never been, don't worry about, you know, some of these, like, the stuff in Independence. Like, that doesn't give you the feel of going to an NHL game.
Even those are fun.
And they're fun, but you go to an NHL game, and I promise you, I don't know any other sporting event where you go to a game and you've never been, where you become addicted away.
It is fun.
It is awesome, man. It is the coolest thing to go to. So if you get an opportunity, go see a hockey game, because their season started last night, right? Who knew?
Yeah. And if you want obviously something else in person, Royals in town tonight. They take on the Yankees. Game starts 6:08. Josh Vernier's on deck show starts at 5:00. You'll want to be a part of that. You know, Vern gets a little extra juiced up when it comes to the playoffs.
Yep.
81 votes on our poll today. Who gets the louder pop from the crowd tonight during their first at bat? Salvador Perez or Bobby Witt Jr.? Currently, after 81 votes, Salvador Perez leads 59.3% to 40.7%.
I'm surprised it's that big of a runaway. I'm going Salvi just because he's the legacy guy. Hit the big home run the other night. He's been an MVP. He's won a championship. Like, he's your ultimate fan favorite. He may go down as the most likable, lovable fan favorite athlete in Kansas City sports history. I mean, that's just the personality that Salvador Perez brings. Like, I don't know how many people can just walk into a room and you just immediately smile when you see that person, right? Like, Salvador Perez is that guy. He walks into a room, he just lights it up. The kids love him. He's playing wiffle ball in the backyard, the whole nine yards. Like, that's just a guy that you want as an athlete in your town, and he's a champion, and he's got an opportunity to be a champion again. And if anybody's shocked to think that we're saying champion with Royals in 2024, don't be, because they're one of the better teams out there right now. And I would love a Royals Padres World Series, because the electricity, the excitement, the fun that those two teams bring to the table. Like, if Major League Baseball wants to grow, which it does, every sport, even the NFL wants to grow, right? You have the Padres and you have the Royals and you have the atmosphere in San Diego and the atmosphere in Kansas City and the likable kind of household names in San Diego, the likable household names here in Kansas City. I think that's great for baseball. I think it's going to be a fun World Series if we end up getting the Padres versus the Royals, because you got two smaller revenue teams, if you will. You've got two passionate fan bases, and you got pictures and colors that are going to pop off the screen, and people like that kind of stuff, man. Like, the Yankees and Dodgers may do a nice television number, but the Royals and Padres is going to be a much more exciting, much more fun World Series than the Dodgers-Yankees, which is like your grandpa's World Series, man.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have Tatis versus Bobby Witt Jr.
I mean, come on now. Come on, right?
And then Lugo taking a chance on himself, going up against his old team. Michael Walker going as well. Up.
Yeah, I mean, there's storyline. Oh, yeah. My God, it's done. San Diego and Kansas City World Series.
I didn't
right
want to do that to you because I have all that like stored away in my notes. But because I'm a geek with baseball, I've already taken like all the teams and what the possibilities are. Like, obviously, the Mets, the rematch.
Right.
The Dodgers, the jerseys.
Yep. Because the Royals were modeled after the Dodgers. Correct. When Ewing Kaufman founded the team, he wanted to model the logo after the classiest organization that he thought out there, and he picked the Dodgers. And so, yeah, the uniform thing. But the Padres and Royals, man, that is a sneaky, sneaky,
a lot
good,
there.
Fun, like, oh my God, look at all the storyline type of World Series that could be out there. And so, in San Diego and Kansas City, old rivals in the AFL, AFC West before the Chargers moved to Los Angeles. And I mean, I just think it's perfect, man. That would be so much fun because the Phillies are about to get eliminated by the Mets. The Mets are going to then have to take on the Padres. And you're not beating San Diego. You're just not. That is a juggernaut right now that is rolling through the National League. And I feel the same thing about the Royals. They're playing good baseball. Everybody's producing from top to bottom one way or the other. Everybody's doing one thing to help their team win. And they got the starting pitching, and now they've got a bullpen. Good luck to the rest of baseball.
No doubt about it. Also, don't forget, today, come see Bob and I, 7,000 Squibb Road, 10, see Mac as well, from 10 a.m., until we get rid of them. There's 100 playoff-themed T-shirts at our station parking lot, thanks to our friends at DM Injury Law. I've already seen a few cars go by. They might be in line. I don't know. Maybe they're going to Chick-fil-A, taking the back way in. Who never knows? Mm-hmm. Look, I'm going to bring this up because the Royals, as you mentioned, are in the playoffs. And Jazz Chisholm, obviously, played it 100 times yesterday, so the Royals got lucky.
Right.
Fair enough.
Everybody in the country's ripping this guy now, too, which is great.
Yeah. And, you know, after the show, I'm driving home and thinking to myself, I'm like, yeah, okay, so how can we expand this conversation? Because I hope that that man gets booed so loud that his pitch comp can't be heard.
Yeah.
Which he doesn't have when you get the gig.
Which, by the way, though, like, we can still put fingers down between our crotch, right? The signal pitches. Like, we don't have to just rely on the pitch comp. So if that thing goes down, you can't hear. You can still look at the catcher's fingers.
In Houston, you just got to be careful with Houston.
Yeah, but they're not relevant.
Yeah, so right, you're good. But I thought to myself, I'm like, okay, what did Jazz Chisholm really do that really got people, you know, revved up and pissed? And I'm like, thinking about the interview and what Vern said about how he said everything right until the final couple seconds.
Yeah.
And he was right. Like, I'm like, hey, look, you know, whatever. He just, choice of words, which is, to me, two things. It's not smart, and it lets me know that there's something of note about the Royals. Because he's not the only one to do this, let alone for the baseball team and the football team here in Kansas City. Like, Jamar Chase has been this guy.
Oh, God, yes.
Did it work out?
No.
Okay.
They haven't done anything since they called it Burrowhead. Like, right. We've kind of shut down the
Cincinnati
narrative, right?
And again, that wasn't even Jamar Chase. And the audio that I want, that I go back to with Jamar Chase, is that when last year's defense was impressive, and they asked Jamar Chase, is there anything that sticks out for the Kansas City defense? Not really.
No.
And you're like, okay. I mean, L'Jarius Sneed hasn't allowed a touchdown, hasn't allowed, except for one game, a receiver to have wide receiver one. I don't think he had allowed it to have over 100 yards. Mm-hmm. And you're going to go out there and say that. And it's like, okay, the other team didn't merit any sort of discussion to have that sort of response. You think of Lance McCullers Jr., as we talked yesterday, did the slash, did the backpack. It brought out a different type of athlete for the Royals.
Right.
You look at Carlos Rodon the other night, doing the tongue thing, striking out the side, counting his chickens before they hatch. And then it's Salvador Perez hitting a 420-foot moon ball and sticking his tongue out. You ain't never seen Sal stick his tongue out.
No, I know. That's how wild Salvador Perez took that, right?
And, you know, you look at Sirianni, right? Like, when the Eagles beat the Chiefs and he goes to the tunnel, he's like, I don't hear you now, Chiefs fans.
Right.
You know, see ya.
That's the last time Philadelphia won anything.
How has Philadelphia been since then?
Yeah, not good.
And there's other layers. And you go back to, gosh, who was it that said the dunce and the chess master?
Oh, yeah, but that was the media that said that.
I know, but still,
somebody, with Buck Showalter and Ned Yost, I mean, they put a dunce cap on Ned, and we took care of them in four games, and that was that,
And I'm saying, like, all the...
Or even back to the guy, Jalen Ramsey, saying that Tyreek Hill is nothing but a special teams player,
right? There's all these receipts, and the Chiefs and the Royals don't say anything first. And if I'm biased, 913-586-7965, maybe I'm missing something. Did the Royals or the Chiefs ever come out and say ahead of time?
One time. Justin Reed, and it was shut down immediately.
But he did it after they had said something.
But that's the only time that we've heard any inkling. No, I don't think the Royals or Chiefs have really ever started
anything. At least
anything,
in the last 10 years. I'm going back to the 10, like, I guess if you want to go 12 with Jalen Ramsey. But, like, I'm trying to think, and that was what my entire conversation in my own
Jalen Ramsey was in the last 5 years.
Because Tyreek Hill was here.
Right, it was that Jacksonville game where it rained. It was October. The sun came out at the end, and the Chiefs ended up winning it.
I want to say it was 2017.
It was definitely a Mahomes game. It was like 19, probably. I think it was 18. It was 18 or 19.
It was the year after they went to the AFC Championship game.
So no, but that was COVID
because Tyreek had only played 1 year.
So it was 19 then. Yeah. Then it was 2019 season is when that happened. It was. I remember the game was rainy, and then all of a sudden, late at the end, the Chiefs took the lead. The sun came out.
Five or six.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey. I don't know if he's been the same since.
And I don't know if. Like, I just don't know. Like, the only time I can ever really think of in my life where a Chiefs player did something where I'm like, all right, that's a little much, was when Tyreek mimicked the Shannon Sharpe thing against the Bucs, because then what happened in the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
like
granted, the
offensive line was destroyed.
Yeah.
But, like, they probably had a little bit of a purpose.
Sure. And it was Tom Brady, and you give him a little something to kind of, you know, chew on.
Oh, they watched it.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I don't think we've ever done anything like that. And I think when teams start to do that smack talk, it shows you that's the inferiority complex coming out. And I know it's the Yankees and whatnot, but you look at these teams that say stuff and do the talking, they're doing that because there's nothing left in their tank and they're trying to distract other ways and they're trying to get under your skin. It's the exact same reason Dave Roberts got all bent about a ball that was rolled to the dugout, because he knows that his team is cooked. When teams start to do that kind of stuff, they're already beaten. And that's where the Yankees are right now. Like, I'll take their approach for a second. Like, if you're on that Yankee team, you better get your guys back tonight, right? Like you better, and I'm not even talking about Clarke Schmidt. I'm talking about the rest of the guys in that lineup. You better go out there and pick your guy up, because he's going to be in a world of hurt when he digs into that batter's box in the first or second inning and the entire crowd is booing and hissing and all that kind of stuff that we're going to do out at the ballpark tonight. Like, it's going to be a miserable experience for that guy. Are your other guys in the lineup true teammates? Are they going to help you? Are they going to pick you up? I don't know. But I do feel like the team that does the talking and brings the attention upon themselves are the teams that right now understand that they are cooked. The Dodgers, the Yankees, the Jags, the Orioles, all of these teams that have done it over the past. You're doing it because you're cooked. And you know that you don't have the wherewithal to go toe-to-toe with the Kansas City Royals right now. So you want to say they're lucky because you're done. You got nothing else to grab on. To.
Mac, you were in Tennessee, like, you're outside of Kansas City, but obviously, you know, whatever, this is your alliance. Like, was there ever, like, anything that you saw, like, where it was like the Chiefs said something, or like maybe somebody in, I just don't ever notice that.
I was trying to, I mean, you brought it up, like Justin Reed was, but again, that was kind of after
the
fact.
But that was
fact.
A response. Yeah,
exactly. It was in response. But maybe Travis Kelce back in the day, but back I don't remember anything really like that. I mean, he did some stuff on the field, but nothing
really called
up to
other
it.
Teams or players
no.
out.
Tyrone Mathieu talked trash to Tom Brady again during the Super Bowl.
During the Super Bowl.
Face to face.
Yeah. Tyron got a little heated in that conversation. So did Tom at that point in time.
But to your point, like, that was showing defeat.
That was defeat.
Right. We were cooked at that point.
The game was done. It was before halftime. Tyron got in Tom's face, and that's when the game over text went out, right? Like, you just knew it. And I remember Josh being on the sidelines for that game, too, and he's like, look, man, that thing was done as soon as that happened. It was crazy chaos on the side. Like, it was over. Like, there was no putting that tube back into the toothpaste. And again, I use the kid analogy. They're wound up right before bedtime. They go, and then they pass out. Mm. Like, that's where the Yankees are right now. They're staring down the barrel of another postseason defeat. How lucky they are that Robert Saleh got fired yesterday, so nobody was talking about them. But now everybody's going to be talking about them. The pressure's on them like it's never been before. You're facing the Kansas City Royals, who don't have a payroll anywhere near you, and you're about to get eliminated from the postseason by the Royals.
As we go back through that lesson in this classroom today on Fesco and Dusty, how did it work out for Jalen Ramsey?
No, you haven't heard from him since.
How did it work out for Cincinnati?
Haven't heard from them since.
How did it work out for Baltimore?
Haven't heard from them since.
How do you think it plans to work out for New York?
Not going to hear from them since.
Okay, well, now we got other people in other sport and football. Well, I'll let you listen to Dominic Fox.
So let's put our money where our mouth is then, okay? Are the Chiefs the team to beat to win the Super Bowl again? Are they?
I like the Ravens better than the Chiefs right now, honestly.
Oh,
I think the Chiefs, Homer.
I mean that movie.
Homer. Okay. So just because it happened last year and it happened at the beginning of the season doesn't mean that every time that they play, they're going to lose. They played pretty much to a draw earlier in this season, and the Ravens have gotten better since then, and the Chiefs have gotten worse. So we can be up here.
What is a draw? There was no draw. You talk about history all the time. The last two times they played.
It's a matter of a toe.
They beat them by a foot. I mean, they literally beat them by that foot. Okay,
all I'm saying is like it was. All I'm saying is they were close. You didn't leave that game thinking. You didn't leave that game thinking that the Chiefs.
There's a lot of teams that play close.
But I'm saying since then, I believe that the Ravens have gotten better and the Chiefs have gotten more injured.
The Ravens should have lost to Cincy.
So the Ravens' tight end doesn't know where the end zone ends, and the Chiefs tight end knows where everybody is on the field, so he knows how to lateral the ball in the moment, right? Like, I mean,
those things aren't related.
Here's the thing. If the Super Bowl makes the point about the Chiefs and like how to win games. You talk about answers to the test. Everyone's got problems.
Every team
has problems. The Chiefs have proven to us that they know how to find solutions as the year goes on.
I think people are finally understanding what I've been saying for years now about the Chiefs. You can have all these problems, but they know how to solve those problems. They're problem solvers. That Dominique Foxworth commentary right there was hard to watch. It was definitely cringeworthy. And the more I hear it, the more I put it in the hall of shame of like some of the worst sports takes that I've ever heard. And you can go out there and have bad sports takes and bad opinions. But when you're wrong and misinformed like Dominique Foxworth is, and the entire panel gets on you, you could feel him shrink right before your eyes. Because everything he said, whether it was Jeff Saturday or Mike Greenberg, or and I'm not sure who the final panelist was on there, looks at him and goes, what are you talking about, man? Like, the Ravens have gotten better and the Chiefs have gotten worse. And Saturday goes, they almost lost to the Bengals. I mean, like, they had a fumble that saved them and a Derrick Henry run.
And a missed field goal.
And a missed field goal. They won the game, and I'm not taking that away from them. But if you want to say that the Chiefs have gotten worse and the Ravens have gotten better, well, that's not true. Right. That's factually wrong. The Chiefs have beaten the Ravens. They've beaten the Bengals when they were both considered competitors. They beat Atlanta, who was considered a competitor at the beginning of the season. They took care of business against the Chargers, who people thought was going to contend for this division. And then they go and beat a Saints team that everybody was in love with after 2 weeks of the season because they put up 40 points against the Cowboys and the Carolina Panthers. Mm. And they shut them down and put them back into oblivion as well. Like Dominique Foxworth, I'll just be honest with you, man. That is an ignorant take, and it's not even correct on any level. At no position are the Baltimore Ravens right now better than the 5-0 Kansas City Chiefs, and it starts with the head coach. No matter what they throw at them, they figure out a way to fix it, and it's kind of reminiscent of what the Royals are doing right now. There's nothing that is in their way that they can't seemingly overcome and fix, and have found ways to overcome and fix just about everything so far in this postseason. I mean, to sit there and say the Ravens are the better team than the Chiefs right now, that's just dumb.
It's just weird that, like, the excuse is, yeah, well, they were a toe away. I don't want you to get worked up. I just want to be open and honest here. That's the exact same thing that I've been saying for years. It's not a catch. I don't care if it's by a toe, by a foot, by a leg, by a mile. Like, it's not a catch. You can't play those what-if games and then say, well, if his foot was in, then they win in their seasons. It's like, but it wasn't.
But there's a saying in
the offensive
football,
line wasn't healthy when they played the Tampa Bay Bucks, and they lost.
And they
the
lost.
Super Bowl.
And that's those are the cards you're dealt, and you deal with them. Know your boundaries. Know where you are on the field. It's a game of inches. We hear it all the time. And then when actually it gets implemented as a game of inches, people are like, well, I mean, you know, you probably should just give him the touchdown because he was
close.
That like
way. People always say,
come
that
on
stuff.
Now. What I mean, always. I know it's 2024 and everybody's supposed to get a medal and a ribbon, but there are still rules that you need to follow, and you need to be in bounds. We can't just go, he's close enough. Let's give him the touchdown, unless it's Major League Baseball and there's a play at second base. I mean, you know, that's fine and dandy and all that. But I mean, it's just a wrong take. And like, I really did. I felt because I like Dominique Foxworth. But I felt bad for him.
Patriots homer.
I think he's very entertaining on TV. But when you have a take that is just completely wrong, that would be like going on the air and going, well, the Royals wear red uniforms. No, they don't. Well, they kind of do. No. Like, there's nothing truthful about.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What Dominique Foxworth had to say there. Absolutely brutal take by him.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.